We've been talking on a subject of love. How many know that we have been? Amen. And today I want to continue. We talked a little bit about last week, some of the benefits of walking in love. We mentioned that. We said that we want to definitely stay, right, in the love of God. Amen. I'm going to just share a few things real quickly and kind of do a few little bit of review of what we've talked about so far. And we started out and we said that love is evidence of the new birth. Amen. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14 says, "We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren." Hallelujah. How many know? We know. That means that's something that we have knowledge of. That's a position. That's a place that God has put us. Amen. We have done something. We went from darkness to light. Glory to God. And this proves that spiritual death was the state we were in before we were born again. But when Satan, he was what? Our spiritual father before, but no more. Amen. We got a new dad. How many have a new father? God is your father now. You've been born again of him. And it says here, we know. How do we know? Because we have love for the brethren. How many know when people aren't born again, they don't necessarily have love for all kinds of people? They don't have love for their fellow man so much. They may have human natural love, but they don't have God's love. Amen? I mean, you know, God's love moves in and we begin to love one another, don't we? Hallelujah. And we started out there. We know. We know. We said, well, what was one of the first things that Jesus said about that? And he said in Matthew 5:43, we looked at this one, that we are to what? Love our enemy. Ooh, how many people know it's easy to love your friends, right? They're so lovely. They're so lovable, right? Why? Well, we like them. They're good. They're nice. They're friendly. That's why they're your friend, right? You know them. But sometimes it's not so easy to love our enemies. And Matthew 5:43, Jesus said, "You have heard it, that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you," verse 44, Matthew 5:44, "but I say to you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use and persecute you, that you may be children of your Father which is in heaven. For he makes the sun to rise on evil and good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans and heathens the same? And if you salute your brother only, what do you have more than others? Do not even the publicans so? But you there be ye therefore what? Perfect, even as your Father which in heaven is perfect." There is a love that we know that we've received, right? Romans chapter 5. The love of God, which was poured forth where? Into our heart by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Let's go to Romans 5 for a minute. I'm going to read it real quick. I keep quoting that verse. I want to make sure we got it right. It says in verse 5, Romans 5:5, "And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God." Why? Because the love of God has been shed abroad. It is. Shed abroad where? In our hearts. By the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So the love of God wasn't necessarily shed abroad in our mind, right? But it was in our heart. How many know our heart? We've talked about the heart. That is what? The inward man, the spirit of man, right? The very depth of our being, our very spiritual life where we were born again. our spiritual man in there. The love of God was shed abroad when we were saved. And we said we are then what? Love children of a love God. And we can love like he loved. We can love our enemy. We can what? Forgive them. Wow, bless them, it says. Do bless them that curse you. Anybody ever here been cursed? Said, well, a few times, you know. They didn't call you the name you desired. And sometimes, how many know that stirs up our emotions, doesn't it? Amen. It can stir our emotions and stir our feelings and want us to get even, right? But we read over in 1 Peter 3 that we don't render evil for evil or railing for railing. Anybody have anybody? I've had people rail on me before. Amen. And we're supposed to stand there and love them. So yeah, see the insults. Jesus said, really, when we're born again, the insults of those that insult you fall on me. They fall on what? On Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. So we're going to be the bigger person, right? Hallelujah. And we're going to love our enemy. We're going to bless them. We're going to do good to them, right? We're going to pray for them. Hallelujah. And somebody, sometimes, you know, and we're praying, Lord, I'm going to pray for them. I bless you. I bless them, Lord, and you know I don't mean it. Anybody ever have to start there? Sometimes we start there, don't we? But if we'll continue with that, how many know the Holy Spirit will help us? He'll take hold together with us, and he'll help us to pray, to really pray for them. And you know, you pray like that a few times, pretty soon, well, all right, Lord, you can bless them. You know, you know, how many know? Sometimes you want to not think about somebody all the time. Every time you think about it, you're going to pray for them, right? Well, how many know? Anybody ever try not to think about somebody? You know, and what happens to our mind? It just starts thinking about it. See, that's, and sometimes people say, well, I don't know how to meditate. When you're thinking about something all the time, you're meditating. See, that's part of meditation. And that's what we do with the Word of God, don't we? We meditate on it. And we want to remember here, we don't want to curse, but we bless. And we can do that because what's in us? The love of God, right? And we even saw there were, you know, how many remember when, of course, we know when Jesus was on the cross, he forgave, didn't he? He held them blameless. He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. See, I think forgiveness has a lot to do with the love of God. Because all of us live in this fallen world, amen? How many know that the world is still full of sin and corruption? It's been cursed. The earth itself is cursed. And sometimes we face things that are difficult and not easy. We have to work with the toil of our brow, you know, we have to work hard. That's part of the curse of the law. Curse of the fall, really. Not the law so much, but the fall. You know, we're redeemed from the curse of the law, but we're still in a earth that isn't perfected yet. But how many are looking for that day when there's going to be a new heaven, a new earth? Amen. Doesn't that give you hope? Praise God, it's not going to be this way forever. We're not going to be here on this stuck in time, but we're going to be outside of that. Amen. Hallelujah. But anyway, we said that love's in our heart. We bless our enemies. We pray for them. We do good to them. And we forgive them. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We said quite a bit about love, really. Okay. And we had a whole teaching there about how love forgives and other characteristics of the love of God. You know, we talked about how love, really, love is greater. It's the greatest, the Bible says, didn't it? 1 Corinthians 13, he said, the greatest of these. Now, there are 13. Now abides faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these, 1 Corinthians 13, 13, is love. They say, well, love is greater than hope and faith, in other words. But the Bible says that God is love. It also says that love is greater than faith and hope. Well, since God is love, then we need to know, that God kind of love, isn't it? It's the God kind of love. Now, why is love greater than hope? Number one, faith won't work without love. In other words, faith is dependent on love in order to work. So if you're struggling, you say, well, my faith doesn't seem to be working. Sometimes we need to check our heart. Say, hey, what have I got? Do I have animosity towards someone? Is my heart right before God? Am I really walking in the love of God? And maybe you are. And that's important. But sometimes, if I'm here and you come up two or three times and you have people pray for you and you say, well, I just don't seem to be receiving. Well, how many know God's not our problem? Amen. We got to take a look inside. Say, Lord, is there something? Is there an adjustment I need to make? Have I held ill will? Have I spoken evil of someone? It may be something very simple. I know one time, very innocently, I was thinking, well, I'd never do that. We shouldn't do that. And God spoke to me. He said, is that your family? Are those your kids? Did you walk in their circumstance? Do you know the pressure they were under? No, sir. I feel like Job right now. He didn't know how God created the world, did he? He said, were you there, Job? What happened? Amen. And we humble our heart. Now, it's not hard to get back in there, is it? First, how many are thankful for 1 John 1:9? We talked about that, didn't we? 1 John 1:9, Lord, I come to you. I confess my sin. I admit I was wrong. And I think it's Saul. He said, I played the fool. Lord, I played the fool. Here I am, Lord. Forgive me. I was foolish. I allowed my guard down. I allowed myself to sin, to step outside of love. How many know every step outside of love really is sin, isn't it? We miss the mark. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we talked about several of the characteristics of the love of God. It endures long, right? We know what that means, don't we? That's long suffering, right? That means, I looked that up and you looked that up and studied it out in the Greek. It means to suffer long. Amen. Hallelujah. And then if you look it up in the other, look it up somewhere else, it says to suffer long. And how many know that means sometimes we suffer long, but we don't do it with a good attitude, do we? Ooh. Man, Pastor Doug, that's me. No, this is Bible. This is what the Bible says God's love is, amen? The love of God, the same kind that was shed in your heart. We're not talking about natural human love, because natural human love wants to take them out, right? It wants our circumstance to change yesterday. It wants everything to change tomorrow. Lord, I don't want to suffer long with them, but sometimes we must. Amen. Doesn't mean that we are neither, does it? We also said last week, we talked about that love, sometimes love has to be stern. Amen. Sometimes love is stern. How many know that God is not weak, is he? He's strong. Does he ever change? No, there is no shadow of turning in him. He does not change. He is the same. And he will stay the same. He's not going to change the rules for you or I. Amen. How many know love sets boundaries, doesn't it? Amen. And then we talked about where Jesus, how many believe Jesus was walking in love? When he took the whip and he said, my house shall be called the house of prayer. You're not going to make it a den of thieves. You're not going to make it that way. It's not going to be a place where people are taken from, but where they are given to. And immediately after he chased them out, bless God, how many know what happened? many came and many. He did many healings and signs and wonders in the temple. He said, for my house shall be called the house of prayer. For what? All nations, for everybody, whosoever will come to my house. And they're going to get what they need. They're not going to be taken from. Amen. They're not going to be merchandised. Now, we don't see too much of that today, do we? Some, unfortunately, we do, don't we? Don't believe it. You don't have to give money to get a miracle. Don't you believe it? I'm going to tell the truth. People that are doing that, they are merchandising God's anointing and they are in trouble with God. You better pray for them. I'm serious. We need to pray for them. That perhaps God might forgive them. Say, well, they don't know what they're doing. Most of them do. Most of them do. Many of them do. And if they don't, they need to check their heart. Amen. Hallelujah. And walk in the love of God. We've been talking about these things. Hallelujah. And we also mentioned that the law of love is what? The law of the new covenant, isn't it? It's the commandment that you and I have been given to walk in now. Now, he said all the law and the prophets hang on these two things, right? To love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. Ooh. And we even talked about that, didn't we? If we really, we need to let God love us too, don't we? We need to be kind to ourselves. Amen. You need to be kind to yourself. Need to be patient sometimes with ourselves. We need to have some long suffering. God does. He loves you. I need to say, Lord, I believe you love me. I receive your love. Maybe you have to do it many times a day for a while. Father, I believe you love me. Your love is in me. I believe God loves me. I'm his son. I'm his daughter. I'm his child. My Father has forgiven my sin as far as the east is from the west. And he does not hold that against me. There is therefore now no condemnation. Why? Because I'm in Christ Jesus. Jesus paid the price for me. I'm in him. And you look a whole lot better in him than outside of him. Amen. See yourself in him. Amen. See him in you and his love for you. Whoo, glory. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to get to her. I'm just kind of going over a few things for a minute. I know it's more than a minute, but I think it's important. Kind of remind ourselves. What have we really looked at? Are we remembering some of these things? Amen. Because we did see that, hey, what love, the law of love, covers at least all the Ten Commandments, right? I mean, if you love your neighbor, you're not going to lie about him, right? You're not going to be coveting his things, amen, nor his wife. You're not going to be committing adultery. You're not going to be running over and, you know, trying to hurt someone or cause harm to them in any way. You know, because, what is it, Romans 13, verse 10, says, love does no harm to his neighbor. You know, or do we think about it? You know, sometimes, maybe not so much, maybe you don't do harm physically to our neighbor, but do we do harm with our words? We talked a little bit about that last week. To refrain our tongue from evil and our lips from speaking guile or speaking lies. You know, a lot of times we don't hurt people physically. That's against the law. That's an assault. But people assault people all the time with their words, don't they? Sometimes our words can condemn or our words can judge when we don't know what happened. We weren't in that situation. Amen. So, let's move a little bit forward. We're on our journey, amen. How many know it is a continual journey? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and into 13. I want us to take a look. Now, we have looked at, and I want to look at some more today. How do we do this more and more? We have some things that we said how we're going to do that. We're going to love our neighbor, right? We're going to forgive our neighbor. We're going to bless and do good to them. And then remember, we talked over in Jude about walking in love, didn't we? We saw how, you know, there were a lot of deception there and so forth. But Jude said, when we begin to build ourselves up on our most holy faith, keeping ourselves, what, in the love of God. Amen. Looking for the mercy of the Lord. Looking for the mercy of God to reach people's lives. Amen. Not for the condemnation of God. I didn't see that in there, did you? No, the mercy of God. How many know His mercy endures forever? And how many are glad for that? But anyway, we saw that when we begin to spend time praying in other tongues, see, we open ourselves up to the compassion of God, to the life of God. Our spirits, see, begins, there's an edifice that is built. It's like a structure. It's as if you're adding a room. You're adding more room to your house, is what he said. You're building up ourselves on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, and we can begin to house more of the love of God, more of the life of God on the inside of us. Even though we have Him, and some people say, we have all you need. Well, this is true, but I become more and more aware of the things that He has given us, and it enlarges my capacity for Him to indwell me and to flow through me. Hallelujah. And so I want us to take a look here at 1 Corinthians, because sometimes, you know, I think we get the idea, or people get the idea, I should say, not so much us, but we can see here where there is really a progression of walking with God into His love. He said, these are great. There are gifts that He has given us to the body of Christ. How many know that? How many are part of the body of Christ? And you have a place. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm going to start reading at verse 27, and I don't have a lot of time, but we'll just share a little bit here today and move a little further. It says, now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. Hallelujah. So all of us, each one is a member of a larger body, the body of Christ. How many know everybody that's born again, whether they're here or not today, they're still part of the body of Christ. Now, this is our local body. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we're thankful for that. But, you know, as a whole, we are part of a large body of all believers. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, and diversities of tongues. Now, are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? Yes. Do all interpret? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. He's talking about in a service. Now, we got to remember that. Here he says, because there's a lot of misconception, all may speak in tongues. Anyone that wants to, that's been born again, can speak in tongues. But here he says, do all? No. And what he's talking about here is in the general assembly, in the church service, do all speak with tongues. In other words, do all have a special message in tongues to give out, to be interpreted? And the answer to that is no. Not everyone here has the miracles, the gift of miracles working in you, or not all are teachers, not all are prophets, not all are pastors or apostles or governments or healing or any of those things. Amen? But we can all be used in the gifts as the Holy Spirit desires. Now see, and what he's talking about here, do all speak with tongues in a service? No. In your own personal life? Absolutely. You can pray as long as you want, as much as you want, anytime you want. Hallelujah. He will, well, we may look at it here later. We'll talk more about that. But praise the Lord. This is so. He says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and I will show you a more excellent way. Now here he is telling us, he says, you should covet. You should desire the gifts. You should desire prophecy. You should desire a word of knowledge. That doesn't mean you know everything, amen. But you gain word of knowledge or to walk as, you know, teachings there for miracles, for gifts of healing, for to walk in whatever it is God has called you unto. Now here he's really talking about the ministry gifts of the apostle, the prophet, you know, the gifts of healings, referring really to pastors, I believe, gift of miracles, you see evangelists, amen, hallelujah. Here, the helps ministry, which are many times those that give, that have a ministry of giving to the church. Maybe they're a gospel entrepreneur. They run their business so that they have a lot of money. And they live on what God tells them. Maybe they live on the same salary you live on, but they give everything above that to the Lord. Because that is part of their call in life. Amen? And then also, there are people that help in other areas of the ministry, you know. And I believe that's also part of the helps and or the governments, we could say. Governments of God. How many know we need accountants and lawyers and all kinds of people in the kingdom? Even within the church, we need different kinds of people. I'm not going to get very far without the maintenance man because maybe I don't know anything about maintenance. Now, we could hire some of those things, and God does that. But there are governments within the church, people that help rule, that are supernaturally endowed by God to rule. Amen? And to help out in diversities of tongues, different kinds of tongues. How many know there's more than one use of tongues? There's tongues for interpretation, tongues for intercession, right? Tongues that is assigned to the unbeliever, and tongues for our own personal edification. So because there's different kinds of tongues, when Paul says this, you know, do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? No, not necessarily. Not in a service to be interpreted, but you can in your own private life. Because there's tongues for personal edification that's available to what? To everyone. And normally, that's what gets you into many of the gifts and much of the things of God, is when you start praying in other tongues. It builds you up, strengthens you, and bring that. But he says here, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Now, we could say, well, what's the best gift? Well, one of the ways the best gift is, a lot of times, the one you need right now. Amen? You need that somebody needs to help you. If you need a miracle, it'd be good to have the gift of miracles come into operation for you. Amen? Hallelujah. Or if you need wisdom, maybe you need to talk to someone that's got great wisdom in their life. Amen? Hallelujah. Someone in governments or in the pastoral ministry. You need the gift that's the best one for right then. But yet again, you know, it is also the gifts that God's called you to walk in for your call. Amen? Hungering after that. What is the place God's called you? There are certain gifts that operate with certain ministries. If someone's called an evangelist, most of the time they have, what? Healings and miracles, don't they? Most of the time. Amen. They're supposed to anyway. Praise the Lord. It gets people born again. Gets the dinner bell ringing. Amen. I'm not saying anyone can operate in those things and have healing follow you. We can all lay hands on the sick, but how many know? Many times when you have an evangelist, those flow. Because their gift is to bring people to Jesus. And it's stir up the body of Christ. So he says, though I speak, verse 13, with the tongue of men and of angels and have not love, I become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Now here, if you look, he's talking about some of the gifts he just talked about. Okay? And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith so that I can move mountains, I have not love, I am nothing. He's not saying, you know, then he goes on to say, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. Well, what he's talking here, he's talking about, he just got done explaining to us in chapter 12, not just these verses, but early on, he's talking about each of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. How many know there were nine? He's not just talking about, he's talking about the gifts. Here we talked about the ministry gifts, but if we back up a little bit toward the beginning, he talked about all of the nine gifts of the Spirit that can flow as he wills. The word of knowledge, the discerning of spirits, the gift of wisdom, not somebody that just has wisdom. No, it's talking about supernatural revelation from heaven. Okay? Wisdom, you know, a lot of times the gift there will flow into the future even. Hallelujah. Amen. And so these nine gifts, three revelation gifts right there, right? The word of knowledge. Word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. Then he goes into three power gifts, working of miracles, special faith, gifts of healings, right? And then he shared also here the three utterance gifts, which is prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And so we realize, he mentioned here toward the end here, we just read about the different offices and how some of that operates together. And he said, this is great, yet I'm going to show you a greater way. These are important. These gifts are all very important. He's not saying they're not important. That's not what Paul is mentioning. But he's saying there's one place that's even greater than all. And if you'll stand in that place called love, if you begin to press forward with the Holy Spirit, spend your time with Him, He can open you up to a gift that begins to flow from you on a continual basis, which is the love of God. And in the love of God, many of these gifts will flow. You see, they may operate in some here and there. You may see them come in operation through those that aren't walking in very much love because of the mercy of God. He'll come and He'll demonstrate His power. But if you'll continue to pray and continue to seek after heaven, the love of God will be so real to you that see the compassion of God will overtake you. And it'll move you into a place where God will do it because your faith has grown to a place that the love of God can set men free. For you know what love is? Love is God. The Bible says He is love. Therefore, love is God. And when you have God, when you know Him, all things are going to become possible unto you. This is the greater way that he's really talking about. He's not saying I discount anything else. I love them. He said those are important. Otherwise, he wouldn't have said in the next chapter, desire these gifts. Desire them. He wants us to have them. He continues on. But here is a place that he is saying, you may give your body be burned. But if you're not walking in the love of God, it's not going to profit you a whole lot. Why? Because God is love. If you're not doing it unto the Lord, if you're not doing it with His love. And I think it's very interesting that Paul placed the love chapter right between two chapters where he talks about the gifts of the Spirit of God. Isn't that very interesting? In other words, many times when Jesus was moved, what with compassion, He healed the sick. And when we begin to understand the love of God, the greater way, compassion begins to flow. And many times it allows God to release healing power. Whether that person is in an emotional wheelchair, and needs to be free from demonic forces that are trying to control them emotionally, or they need to be healed in their emotions because they've been wounded so deep by someone about. How many know it's just as powerful to see someone get out of an emotional wheelchair as it is to come out of a physical wheelchair? And when we're moved with compassion, they'll come out of both. Amen. See, the compassion of God, the love of God, the very nature of God that's been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. This is the greater. He's saying, I show unto you a more excellent way. He didn't say the others weren't excellent. How many think it's excellent? Somebody gets healed through you. Hallelujah. Or the gift of healings comes on you. Amen. The gifts of healings, that means it's going to happen right now. Boom. They are healed. They're going to be healed. The gifts of healing comes on you and you release it. I think that's a great gift. That's awesome. It's wonderful. And they'll be real happy it came on you and that you were obedient. But how many know? He said, it's even more excellent when you are moved with the love of God on the inside of you. And that love continues to flow in you, to work in you, and God continues to build in you, and you become a reservoir of that love, and that love continues to expand on the inside of you. And the revelation of who God is, all that He is, begins to become real to you. Then these things flow like a river. He said, out of our river, out of our belly is going to flow what? The rivers of living water. Do you not think the Holy Ghost knows how to take you from where you are into a more excellent way of the love of God? He's our teacher. He's our helper. He's our guide. He's not saying if you prayed in tongues, it's not helping you. He's just saying, I have a more excellent way. There is a great way when you understand the fullness of the love of God and you're moving forward into that love, into that compassion, into the long-suffering, into the kindness. Therefore, you see here, he starts talking really about our character, doesn't he? He said, this is really greater. Here's the greater way to get your character straightened out to where you are long-suffering. You suffer long and are kind, that your love does not envy and you're not proud, right? We're not talking about ourselves all the time because love vaunteth not itself. In other words, it's not bragging on me, but seeking after Him. See, Paul is addressing in 1 Corinthians some of the problems that they were having. They were seeing many of the gifts operate and happen, but they were not seeing the fullness of God's love. And so he says here is a way you can step into. Here's what it looks like. Here's the way it really should be. Amen. Hallelujah. It should be as though you allow your character to come to the place where you're not bragging on you, where you're not all puffed up. Amen. Verse 5, you don't behave unseemly or rudely. Amen. How many know? You ever seen any people like that? They're just unseemly, unrude. I was watching one of those, what's that show called? Oh, yeah. Every once in a while. Just maybe at Walmart, you know, I was there and they had those TVs on. I just happened to see this show. No, not really. I did watch it. But I was watching one of these Shark Tank shows one time and the guy got an offer. Somebody offered him. He even said, I'll accept your offer. But you know what? He kept going on and on trying to talk to some of the other sharks who were not in on the deal. They had nothing to do with it. And he kept trying to ask them questions and was trying to prove his point about something that he said. And so finally, the guy that gave him the offer, he said, you know what? Forget it. I'm out. That's it. It's over. And he walked away with nothing because he was rude and unmannerly. And how many know sometimes if we're rude and unmannerly, it can cost us. We need to think about our behavior. And I think that's really what Paul was talking about here to the Corinthians. When you think about the entire book in context, he says, you need to grow up. You've got to come alive. You've got to move into the love of God. Therefore, I've shown you things that are more excellent. This is a more excellent way because you're going to bear all things. You're going to believe all things. You're going to hope all things. You're going to endure in all things. How many think that kind of sounds like being faithful when it's not easy? How many think that means keep your word? How many can see that he's talking about character here? That the love of God builds a life of strong character with God. Amen? Or you're not, how many know, if you're walking in love, you're not beating your wife, right? You're not putting your husband down. You're not talking down to people. You're not telling them how they need to be, but you're praying and loving them and encouraging them. Amen? And we come forth and he says, here, we can learn and we can walk the more excellent way. And if we do, we'll be hopeful in all things. Amen? We'll be strong in him. We'll have the knowledge of God. We'll have the faith of God on the inside of us. We'll be strong in the Lord. We'll know our God. Amen? Because you see, he says here, verse 8, a lot of times people say, well, you know, in verse 8, he said, love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they're going to cease. Whether there's knowledge, it'll vanish away. And sometimes I think people get the idea he's saying these are not valuable. No, Paul's saying these are all valuable gifts. They can flow in you, but they're not really going to profit you like they should without love. Without the love of God flowing in you and you understanding who he is and that same love that was shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost being poured forth, that all things can take place. He says, therefore, he says, what the love of God, which never fails. He said, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part will be done away. Hallelujah. How many know when you can come? The Bible says if we walk in the one of the first things that fear, love is going to do, it's going to chase away fear. Because in him, perfect love, what casts out all fear? God's love. How many think God's love is perfect? The agape of God on the inside of us. And so he's saying here, let's put away our childish ways. When I was a child, I spake like a child. I thought like a child. But when I became a man or a woman, hallelujah, I understood as a child, but I, you know, and thought like it. But when I became a man or a woman, I put away childish things. Amen? Hallelujah. How many know that we don't have to stay a baby in God? But when we spend that time in fellowship with him, we allow those things that are on the inside of us, that precious Holy Spirit who will pray for us. When we spend time speaking in other tongues, he will strengthen us. He will build us up. He will lead us and guide us into the character of God and into his perfect love. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, we've talked about some other ways, too. And we'll get some more. Amen. How many know we need to realize it's good? Hey, I understand. I do. Well, you need to walk in more love. Well, tell us something we didn't know, Pastor. I know I need to walk in more love. How are we going to do that? And today we shared one thing where we can pray and spend time in that. We can forgive. We can do good. We can bless. We can pray for our enemies. Amen? We cannot judge every situation if we didn't have anything to do with it. You know, if you didn't walk a mile in somebody's shoes, we got to, you know, take a step back and say, Lord, maybe they're doing better than I would have in that situation. Amen. And we need to think the best. The Bible said love thinks the best of others. Believes what? The best. Amen. About our brother or sister. You know, and sometimes we don't know what happened. Maybe we saw somebody do something. They walked into some place. We went in, and maybe they realized where they were, came to, oh, Lord, forgive me, and they walked out. And then you said, well, how could God use them? How many know 1 John 1:9 really works when you believe it? Sometimes we do things and we have the hardest time with forgiving ourselves, don't we? I can forgive everybody else, but look what I did. We want to wallow in ourselves, but we have to come to the place where we believe God has cleansed me. He's forgiven me. I'm going about my way regardless of how I feel. Amen. All right. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word today. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Father. Just let's pray just for a minute. Let's just be quiet for a second here and worship the Lord out of your heart. Hallelujah, Father. We thank you for us, Lord. We thank you for your love. We thank you that the Holy Spirit is guiding us into that love, Father. Where the love of God, which is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit, is what dominates us, Lord. And Father, I know, Lord, that you love these people. You love those that are watching online. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that as we keep pressing in, I know these people know, Father. Most of them know as we spend time in your presence, in worship, in prayer, in the Word of God, Father, that you bring change to us. That you help us to grow up, that you help us to mature, to put away childish ways, Lord, and to begin to think soberly and righteously as your sons and daughters, to become mature sons, Lord. Lord, we want the fullness of who you are, the fullness of your love. So, Father, we thank you. I thank you, Lord, for loving us, Lord. Thank you for filling us. Thank you that we will let the love of God rule supreme. Amen. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. We thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.